Hello and welcome to the Butterfly Evolution Show. I want to personally thank you for listening in today. Today was not a scheduled program, but because of the need to celebrate I Have a Dream, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I felt that it was necessary to do something. And what I chose to do is play the I Have a Dream speech in hopes that each and everyone that is led to this program today, tomorrow, next year, that wherever you are, you stop and embrace life through what is your dream? Asking yourself, what is your dream? What was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream? What are you doing? What have you done? What can you do better? The first thing I want to really challenge everyone to do is to think about your thought process. Are your thoughts allowing you to remain enslaved? Are your thoughts helping you to remain where you are? Have you given up on your dreams? Your dream. I am very, very, very heavy-hearted today as I look around to my brothers and my sisters of all races. I see people that are so mentally enslaved until the dreams are basically so far away or they're so far away from just being in touch with who they are, which means that if you don't know who you are, there's no way you can dream. There's no way you have a dream that you feel is doable, that you can grasp that dream and move forward in making that dream a success. Our children, our youth are hurting. They're falling to the wayside. We have an alarming number of teenage pregnancies. We have an alarming number of dropouts. We have our youth who are being brutalized by police officers, and I'm not downing police officers. It is what it is. We can no longer tell our children that we allow things like this. So I have dreams today, and this show is taking place in hopes that you will be motivated to revisit your life, your thoughts. Because as we say here on the Butterfly Evolution Show, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, and you reach character. And you sow character, you reach your destiny. So I'm asking you all today, what is your character today? What moves you? What excites you? Time after time, I see drama being a fueling factor, meaning that I see things that are about drama and about really taking people away from the good, even the good in people, the good in things. Our lives are so distracted, so full of stuff that does not matter, so much so that we've taken our focus off the things that really matter. Family, love, happiness, just with the basics. And I'm talking to myself as well, because I had to remind myself this week alone of how blessed I am and stop myself. I had to stop my thoughts from taking me to a complaining mode, so to speak. So we have to learn to control our thoughts, to capture our thoughts, and make sure that our thoughts are lining up with our destiny, where we want to go. And you can't go there alone. Eliminate this crab in a barrel mentality. There's enough of it for all of us. So please, please identify first who you are. Deal with you, with your own personal bondage, but bring someone else along on the ride with you. Start with your family. For those who are ready and embrace change, they want the change, start there. Let's no longer be moved by, and again, I'm not saying anything is going wrong with going here and there, but, you know, we are moved by things, again, that bring no value to our lives or the lives of others. It is time, my people, to free yourself, to emancipate yourself, to wake up, because things are not getting better. Look around you. Look at statistics on many things. I see all the postings on Facebook. I see the things that get the likes. I see the things that people flock to. What are your dreams? Do you have any? Or have you given up on them because you think it doesn't matter? You've become hopeless, which means we're passing on hopelessness to our children. I can no longer sit back and stand for that or allow it to happen. I came across a parent last Saturday as I talked about the 901 Butterfly, which is a group for young girls. And through this group, I learned so much from these young women about what they're going through with their parents, with daughters and mothers. So many of our young girls are being molested. I say, women, wake up. If you have to go to your daughter and ask, is something going on? Something is wrong. Something is going on. Stop choosing these men over your young girls. And fathers, I cannot say enough about how much your children, especially your daughters, but our men as well, but I'm speaking as a woman, your daughters need you. They need to know that you love them. And I'm not speaking about money. If you don't have a dollar to give, hello, baby girl, how are you? It's free. That's all you have to say. How was school today? Do we need to talk something? So this is in celebration of the life, the dedication, the movement, the dreams that Dr. Martin Luther King had. The road that he set for us to continue the journey. How many of us can truly say that we're on that journey? I had to break free from my personal bondage, my enslaved thinking process, my mental mentality. And it's a process that I have to work through daily. So I say to you guys today, every one of you who are listening, whether it's today, tomorrow, next year, where are you mentally? Where are you? Are you your worst enemy? Have you enslaved yourself? Because there's enough of it for all of us. And I'll leave you with this just to explain how much there is available. And you think about this. There is a KFC. There is a Popeyes. They all sell chicken. They both sell chicken. They're mostly on every corner, across from each other. Burger King, McDonald's, Walgreens, CVS. So stop closing your hand to opportunity. Have faith in you. Have faith in your dreams. Have faith in the I Have a Dream speech that Dr. Martin Luther King laid for us. So I say to you, are you mentally enslaved? Have you buried your dreams? Are you ready to move forward? Because if you are, you have to change your mindset. You have to renew your mind. We come from challenges. We come from, and I'm speaking about my black race now, my African Americans. We come from challenges. You know, if you've not had a chance to listen to my show on the making of a slave or emancipate yourself, there's a couple of them out there on the site. So please take this time to go back and listen. You have to free yourself from that type of thinking. So I challenge each and every one, start in your homes, especially with your children. If you don't want it for yourself, if you feel that it's too late for you, do it for your children. Get involved in the life of your children. If not, this cycle will continue. We are dying. We are basically the walking dead. Our children, wow, the things that move them today, they have become hopeless. So I say to you today, listen to this speech as much as you can of it and allow tomorrow to be different. Change your mindset. It is a process. It is a difficult process. It's a daily process. But it can be done. I am a living example of breaking free from bondage. Do I have a glorious life every day? No, but I have a very peaceful life. And you have to acknowledge anything before you can do anything about it. So start today. Start today. And what I'm going to do from here, I will not come back on the air until the end, but I'm going to play the I Have a Dream speech. And there's a part one and a part two. So you will hear a brief pause in the time that it takes to load part two. So stay on with us. I just challenge all of you today to do a little better. Work to be the change you want to see. And if you're not expecting change or if you're not wanting change, then it's a problem right there. And some of us, you know, when I say work to be the change you want to see, do you want to see change? Do you acknowledge that change needs to take place? And it starts with you. So without further ado, I introduce to you I Have a Dream speech by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. A great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as the great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize the shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. And the architect of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. They were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice.
Thank you, and hold as we go to part two, and I am doing that right now, just a second.
Finding and booking the ideal venue can be the hard.
There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied. As long as the Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one, we can never be satisfied. As long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back through the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the people's injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. One day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. One day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims cried, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Thank you for listening, and because we have just a few more minutes, I had not planned to do this, but I am going to continue on and just allow our time to run out. I'm going to play just another insert, so I hope that you guys are enjoying this, but more so because I am just going to continue to let this play out. But I want you all to really, really think about, again, your mindset. Think about where you are today. Don't give up on life. Embrace change. Change is inevitable. Embrace change, but it starts with you.
It was just prisoners.
Let me say how happy I am to see each of you here today, and I want to commend you for your willingness to engage in this vigil and stand in the midst of this rather inclement weather to express your support for all of those who have been arrested as a result of their courageous actions resisting the tragic, unfair, and unjust drive system of our nation. I've just had the opportunity of visiting my very dear friend, Joan Baez, her mother, and our dear friend, Ira Sandpearl. And they all send their greetings and their best wishes to you. And I might say they are in good spirits. You know, when you go to jail for a righteous cause, you can accept the inconveniences of jail with a kind of inner sense of calm and an inner sense of peace. And this is the way they are accepting that experience. They have supported us in a very real way in our struggle for civil rights, our struggle for freedom and human dignity all across the South. And I decided that in a way, or rather as an expression of my appreciation for what they are doing for the peace movement and for what they have done for the civil rights movement, I would take time out of my schedule to come out to see them, to visit them, and let them know that they have our absolute support. And I might say that I see these two struggles as one struggle. There can be peace. There can be no justice without peace, and there can be no peace without justice. People ask me from time to time, aren't you getting out of your field? Aren't you supposed to be working in civil rights? And they go on to say the two issues are not to be mixed. And my only answer is that I have been working too long and too hard now against segregated public accommodations to end up at this stage of my life segregating my moral concern. For I believe absolutely that justice is indivisible, and injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I want to make it very clear that I'm going to continue with all of my might, with all of my energy, and with all of my action to oppose that abominable, evil, unjust war in Vietnam. Now let me say this. I see some very dangerous trends developing in our country, trends of oppression and repression and suppression. And I see a definite move on the part of the government to go all out now to silence dissenters and to try to crush the draft resistance movement. Now, we cannot allow this to happen. And we've got to make it clear. We've got to make it clear that to indict a Dr. Spock or to indict a Bill Coffin and the other courageous souls that have been indicted will mean indicting all of us if they think that this draft resistance movement is going to be stopped. And let us continue to work passionately and unrelentingly to end this cruel and senseless war in Vietnam. I don't have to go through all of the things that this war is doing to corrode the values of our nation. Suffice it to say that the war in Vietnam has all but torn up the Geneva Accord. It has strengthened the military-industrial complex of our nation. It has exacerbated the tensions between continents and races. And the war in Vietnam has placed our country in the position of being against the self-determination of the Vietnamese people. And then it has played havoc with our domestic destinies. And I can never forget the fact that we spend about $500,000 to kill every enemy soldier in Vietnam, and we spend only about $53 a year for every individual who is categorized as poverty-stricken in our so-called war against poverty, which isn't even a good skirmish against poverty. And I say that is a great need for a revolution of values. And I say to you in conclusion, that we must continue to stand up and we must continue to follow the dictates of our conscience, even if that means breaking unjust laws. Henry David Thoreau said in his essay on civil disobedience that non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. And I do not plan to cooperate with evil at any point. Somebody said to me not too long ago, Dr. King, don't you think you're hurting your leadership by taking a stand against the war in Vietnam? Aren't people who once respected you going to lose respect for you? And aren't you hurting the budget of your organization? And I had to look at that person and say, I'm sorry, sir, you don't know wrong. By looking at the budget of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, or by taking a Gallup poll of the majority opinion, ultimately a genuine leader is not a sucker for consensus, but he's a molder of consensus. And on some positions, Howard is asked the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? Vanity asks the question, is it popular? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular, but he must do it because conscience tells him it is right. And that is where I stand today, and that is where I hope you will continue to stand so that we can speed up the day when justice will roll down like waters all over the world and righteousness like a mighty stream. And we will speed up the day when men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nations will not rise up against nations, neither will they stutter war anymore. And I close by saying, as we sing it in the old Negro spiritual, I ain't going to stutter war no more.
Thank you again for tuning in to the Butterfly Evolution Show. Again, please, please, please allow this moment to challenge you, to begin with you, to begin with your family, within your home, within yourself. Start to identify where your thoughts are taking you. Take control over your mind. Do something. Give back. And if it's too late for you, which I say it is never too late, if you have breath, life today, you have an opportunity. But if it doesn't start with you, then make sure that your children, your nieces, your nephews, your neighbors' children, give them what they need. Allow them and help them to lay down a foundation, to have a foundation. And as I leave, I want to share a couple of quotes with you on the mind. The mind is its own place and in itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. And that's by John Milton. And what that is saying is, in your mind, you can create your own hell or your own heaven. You can have heaven and make it hell. You can be in hell and think that you're in heaven. And many of us are either at one of the two. And sometimes we go back and forth. We're on that fence. So I say to you people, capture your thoughts. And in your mind, there's no difference between what is and what could be. So just as you take control and you accept what is, you can move forward in with what could be or what is to come. But that takes work. That takes some self-awareness, some dealing with some self-issues, some self-bondage that we all have. The Butterfly Evolution Show is about transformation. It is about renewing your mind. It is basically about dying to live. So I say to you, daily, daily, die of yourself. Daily. It is a process, but it is a wonderful and peaceful journey. So without further ado, I want to come to an end for tonight's show or today's show. Please share this show. Please take the time and the opportunity to eliminate distractions in your life, those that keep you from dealing with things, dealing with real issues. Eliminate those things. Identify and eliminate. And sometimes those things are people. So work to be a better you. So many people are walking around in so much pain from bondage, especially our young people. Look at the number of suicides that are taking place with people, among people who are so young and have so much life ahead of them. They are hurting so bad until death seems better than living. And they're taking their own lives. If you don't see that there's an issue here, that there's problems, that we have some true things that we need to address, then something's wrong. So if you're not doing something, then you should be. And if you don't know what that something is, then connect with someone who has identified their something and help them. Help them help somebody. And in the midst of that, you may determine that you are also helping yourself. But please don't allow another day to go by without addressing where you are today mentally. I say that the biggest lies that we tell are the ones that we tell ourselves, the ones that we begin to believe, the ones that we begin to be okay with, because those are the ones that leave us hopeless. Those are the ones that allow us to just be okay and accept whatever is going on in our lives. We can no longer remain there, my people. It is time to get up. It is time to wake up. It is time to move forward. It is time. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for tuning in. Please share the Butterfly Evolution Show with a friend, with a neighbor, with a relative. We air each Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time live. Each Monday night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that's for our live show. However, all shows are archived, and you can listen 24/7. I am in the Memphis, Tennessee area. If you have a young girl that is interested in participating or being a 901 butterfly, please reach out to me. Please. Parents, take time for your children. They are God's gift to us. We will be held accountable for what we do and do not do for our children. You are responsible to making sure they have what they need. And first and foremost, that is your unconditional love. And you have to start with that from the time they come into this world. So to all of you, we have just a minute, just under a minute to go. Again, have a wonderful, have a butterfly evolution day. Transformation, renew your mind. Transform from that caterpillar to that beautiful, beautiful butterfly. Make your colors. Create your own colors. But again, if you're not willing to do that, don't take that away. Don't take that away from your children. So I have a dream. I hope that you have a dream. I hope that you realize what that dream is. Grab a hold of it and move forward with it. Thank you for being a Butterfly Evolution listener. I hope that you will tune in to one of our shows, all of our shows. Please share this radio show, this broadcast, with everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.